It's time!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Welcome in to Pound for Pound. I'm your host, Andrew Craneri, alongside Chris Carino and Zach Cordova. Guys, we got an action-packed weekend here to break down. UFC 299 is pretty much, I mean, we're only a couple nights away. I'm really, really excited for it. We also got Ngannou versus Joshua to also talk about as well. Should be a very fun fight, actually happening, I believe, in like under an hour from the time that we're recording this. But before we get into all of that, how are you guys doing? Chris, I'll go to you first.
I'm doing well. It's a really nice kind of part of the year. I don't know if I kind of had stunted excitement. Maybe it's my overgone excitement for basketball coming up with March Madness that maybe kind of blinded my excitement for UFC here. But going through the card for this show and kind of in preparation for watching on Saturday, kind of stacked, especially that top four. I was talking about it with Andrew before we came on. It's very stacked, underratedly stacked. Maybe you can even go head to head with 300. That's a whole nother conversation. And yeah, it's just got me super excited. I have a lot of thoughts, especially about the main event and the seemingly infinite amount of storylines that have come along with that one. And yeah, just overall excited and, you know, always excited to talk with Big Drew and Zach, of course.
Yeah, come on, guys. You know, this is my favorite month, March. I mean, I've mentioned it over and over again, the Shamrock Shake. We got great fight cards this weekend. I couldn't be more excited. So I think we should just get right into it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think without further ado, let's just get right into it. I mean, yeah, going throughout this entire main card, it is absolutely stacked. I mean, there's so many great fights. Also, I mean, a couple like real contender matchups for bantamweight. Obviously, the title is going to be in the main event. Sean O'Malley versus Chito Vera should be a very fun fight. But I want to start at, you know, the very beginning of this main card with one of those contender fights in the bantamweight division that should be very fun. Piotr Jan is coming back to take on Song Yadong. Song Yadong, kind of a, I feel like he's still viewed as a prospect kind of in the UFC despite being ranked and despite being in the organization for a couple of years. And I think that's just because of how young he was when he first got to the UFC. Really impressive fighter, explosive power, but obviously he's going up against a really tough test in Piotr Jan that a lot of people still view as kind of the boogeyman of this bantamweight division. I mean, he seemed to kind of taken a downturn, especially his most recent fight against Merab Dabashili seemed like he had a tough time kind of dealing with the takedowns, but obviously Merab is kind of the epitome of wrestling there. So off the back of that, I just kind of wanted to ask you guys, what do you think of this fight? Do you think it's a good matchup? Do you think maybe Piotr Jan is going to have a big comeback win here? Or do you think it's going to be a big moment for Song Yadong?
Yeah, I'll start. I think and I'm going to call him Piotr Jan because it's just easier. And Andrew's the man, but I'm not on that level yet, at least of my MMA reporting. But nonetheless, Piotr Jan's such an interesting situation right now because I think people really thought he was going to be the one to put an end to the sugar show or at least an intermission in it. And they thought that was going to kind of be what stops Sean from hitting the pinnacle and doing what he's doing now, which is incredible. And we'll get into that later. But now his situation's so interesting because he's coming off the loss, as you said, Andrew, and now he's three losses in a row. It's just kind of an interesting spot he's found himself in, especially in this division, which has kind of shown to be the Wild West over the last kind of year or so. And yeah, I think he wins here. I don't know, we don't want to get into predictions right now, but this fight seemingly to me, and I'm not super familiar with his opponent, but it feels like the fight that his last fight should have been, kind of the get back fight, that last fight, that last loss was kind of made to be, not necessarily made to be, but should have been. And I, yeah, Peter doesn't have anything lacking, or he's not behind in any of the signature or really important stats. And I just see this as a get back fight for Peter, and kind of a way to get back into the mix of that division, maybe one more time as well. The clock is ticking. He's only 31, but this division is so competitive that you really never know when your last shot's going to be. So I think it's an interesting matchup. And honestly, considering it's maybe the least amount of storylines in one of these fights, just shows how stacked this card really is. The fifth fight, this is it's ridiculous.
Oh no, this is an incredible fight. And I don't know, when you say get back fight, that almost sounds like a boxing term where guys will kind of do like a tune-up fight after having like maybe a tough fight or a loss. Song Yadong is not a tune-up fight or a get back fight in any ways. He's not a guy, he's a scary guy in this division. He's not somebody that you exactly want to see when you're on a skid because he's incredibly hungry, only 26 years old, but he's moving up the rankings each time he fights. And I mean, the striking is creative. He's got tons of power. He's become one of the more exciting guys in this division, and I couldn't be more excited for this fight. Honestly, I'm really happy. Originally, it was scheduled for the prelims. It was originally the featured prelim, and they switched it to the main card. So I'm happy about that. I don't know if the placement of the fight actually matters in the card, but just having it as that kind of main card opener, I think is just fitting for a fight like of this magnitude. But
Yeah.
Peter Yan is kind of on that skid right now of losing three straight. I mean, how could you blame him after Merab tried to take him down, I think, quite literally 50 times in that fight? I could feel his frustration through the screen watching that one. So, I mean, this is just going to be an exciting fight. Honestly, I don't even know if I can come to prediction. I just kind of almost want to pick Yadong just because of his outfit yesterday at the press conference was so cool to me. I thought it was sick. So honestly, I'm going to take him by knockout just because of the fit.
That's
And
a
I just want to clear. I want to clear up one thing. I'm not meaning disrespect with tune-up fight necessarily. Just more from the perspective of the journey that Jan is now on, kind of trying to get back up in the division. I kind of see it like that. It kind of serving as that way, not necessarily him being a tune-up fight.
No,
And
yeah, I
honestly, it's to
understand
the
that.
point you just made with the takedown. Like the takedown kind of threat isn't necessarily there. It's not necessarily something he's gonna have to worry about as much. And he can kind of just be a pure striker, or just kind of purely just hands, and not necessarily hands in like a physical sense, but more in the like just more in just kind of looking him dead in the eye, not necessarily feeling like you're on. You're one step behind, kind of like how it felt in his last fight the entire time. And he won't feel at that disadvantage. And I think that when he's not at that disadvantage, when he doesn't feel that disadvantage, that's when he's kind of at his best, like the last Sean fight, for example.
That's kind of what I wanted to ask you guys too is, I mean, we saw when Peter Yan fought Sean O'Malley, he went for like a little bit of a wrestling approach. He mixed it in a little bit, and Song Yadong is definitely one of those guys who will give him that stand-up fight if he wants to take it. But do you guys think that Piotr Yan could at some point maybe hunt a takedown or just try to get a little bit of grappling in?
I definitely think so, to bank a round or two. I mean, I think it honestly comes down to how effective Yadong is in striking. If he lands a couple clean shots against Yan and kind of rocks him early on, I could see Yan trying to go for a takedown, steal a round or two, because I think that's kind of what happened in the Sean O'Malley fight, and that's what made it so close, was that Yan had his moments on the feet, but when he got rocked, he was actually able to bring it to the ground and still control the fight from there. So yeah, I could definitely see some wrestling out of Yan, but I will say, Song Yadong, you know, being trained by guys like Uriah Faber and that whole California team, I don't know if the takedowns are going to be as easy as they were against the Sean O'Malley, who relatively has good takedown defense, but nowhere near as much as I would say other, you know, bantamweights. But I guess to, you know, end this conversation on this fifth fight, I would ask, I mean, you guys kind of beat around the bush a little bit. Can you give me a pick on who you think is going to win the fight?
I think Jan wins. I think it's just a it's a win to get people in the building, someone they know, just a good way to start off the night, kind of a resurgence in the division, more excitement in the division. Yadong's obviously a young prospect that could be exciting, but just more of a household name in Jan to start off the card, I think I could see. I think I'm kind of letting my wrestling side show a little bit. Kind of, I sound like a booker right now, but I just think Jan, with less of a threat of the takedown, will be more comfortable in there, and he won't be fighting at that disadvantage that I was just talking about from his last fight. And I think that that comfortability in there is kind of the decider for me with Jan, and if he's going to get the W or not. Obviously, that Sugar fight didn't go necessarily how he wanted to, but I'm sure there's still millions of people out there that'll tell you that he won that fight. So, I think that comfortability, mixed along with the desperateness of the situation, I think is a perfect mix for Jan right now, and he'll be able to pick up a win, maybe a win that he might not necessarily have the right to get with maybe Yadong being a better fighter.
Yeah, I
Go for it, go for
go. All right, I'll go
it.
first. I would say I agree with you, Chris. I think that Piotr Jan, I think it's going to be a very close fight. I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think, but I think Piotr Jan is going to win this fight. I think it's going to play out very similarly to Song Yadong versus Corey Sandhagen. I felt like that was a very, very close fight striking wise, and Yadong ended up losing that fight via cut on the eye. It was a doctor stoppage. I don't think it will be a doctor stoppage or something as weird as that. But I think that this fight's going to play out very much in the same way, that it's going to be a very close fight. Both of those guys are going to get their moments, but I think Jan is just going to edge out that fight a little bit more. But Cordova, what do you think?
Man, I think this is a big test for Song Yadong. I mean, he hasn't really had an opponent to this caliber of a Peter Yan, but man, I was kind of joking earlier. I know the fit was really hard at the press conference, it really was. The hair dyed. I don't know if you guys saw, he's got it blonde right now. Song Yadong looks pretty sick, but at the same time, this is a really hard fight, and Peter Yan, more than anybody, needs a win right now. So I got to go with Piotr Jan. I think he's definitely just still in his prime, and I think he's just going to kind of remind everybody who he is this weekend.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. It should be an exciting fight to open up that main card. But moving on, we got another banger of a fight. This one in the welterweight division. Gilbert Burns is going to be taking on Jack Della Maddalena, also known as JDM. There's about of a decade age difference between these two guys. An exact decade. Gilbert Burns is 37, Jack Della Maddalena is 27. So off the back of this, I kind of view this as kind of a changing of the guards fight. If JDM ends up winning this fight, I could see it as kind of, like I said, a real changing of the guards. I think JDM, will take that place. Whereas Gilbert Burns has been, real competitive in the welterweight division. We could see, him start to fall back a little bit. But I don't know. I mean, this fight is really interesting from a lot of angles. Obviously, Gilbert Burns is a killer on the ground, also some really nice striking. But Jack Della Maddalena, over the past couple of years in the UFC, he's looked unbeatable. So guys, what do you think about this fight? Are you excited for it? And do you think anybody has an edge heading into the octagon?
I think Gilbert Burns kind of in a similar position to Peter Yan, maybe not as drastic because, just the fight to bo after before, sorry, I can't speak English, before the Belal fight, he was kind of cooking for a little bit and really looked scary in that division. I think I've kind of grown a natural affinity for Gilbert Burns. I have a best friend, Evan, who that's kind of his favorite fighter, and he's constantly talking about him. I remember we watched him fight on that McGregor Poirier 3 undercard. I think he was the fight before that. I'm not sure who it was, but I remember he picked up a victory and he was really excited about that. But nonetheless, I think kind of that liking toward Gilbert Burns is maybe swaying my decision here a little bit as well, because Maddalena seems on paper to be the guy to pick here. Just seems naturally a guy on the way up and Gilbert Burns on the way down, kind of just two trains passing in the night almost in this division. But I think Burns is kind of getting undervalued here in a lot of ways. I think the Belal fight has a lot of people with a bad taste in their mouth with Gilbert Burns, and I think that's unfair in a lot of metrics. Obviously Belal's about to fight for the title eventually whenever that fight gets announced. I know a lot of people are very happy that's not the 300 main event, but I think Burns can kind of really make a statement here, and this is a magical kind of opportunity for him, not only to kind of get his head right with a victory, but also in the scheme of the division, get back into the mix of the division, because it's kind of unheard of. You lose to a contender in that way, and with a division this stacked, you can get another opportunity. But seemingly with a win here, he could kind of set himself right up for a Leon fight or Belal fight, depending on who wins. So I think the stakes are too high here, and I think Gilbert Burns can live up to those expectations when the kind of expectations are that high, kind of just looking at his track record.
Yeah, I mean, Gilbert Burns in this division is one of those guys that he almost feels like kind of like a gatekeeper, I guess, in this point of his career. I mean, he fought against Khamzat Chimaev 2 years ago, and we cannot forget about that fight. I mean, I even think that he won that fight, but that's an argument for a different day. Gilbert Burns is just, he's been a mainstay in this division, and he's always game for no matter who the opponent is. Jack Della is one of those guys, though, that he's never lost in the UFC. Yeah, at least. And we're going to get into it later. I'm going to say until this weekend. But Jack Della Maddalena has really shown like a lot of poise in his striking. He's shown a little bit of a ground game as well, working in the clinch against in his win against Randy Brown, where it's a little bit more of a boring fight, but still showing a lot more of a roundedness to his game. In his last two fights, though, he's only won by split decision, which worries me a little bit in terms of going up there in competition level. And Gilbert Burns is probably as tough as it gets in that welterweight division, besides talking about, like, obviously the champion or a Khamzat Chimaev or a Kamaru Usman. I mean, I would even compare maybe Burns to like a Kamaru Usman, but all in all, I think this is going to be a really competitive fight. And it's definitely one of those ones that if Jack Della can win this fight and prove himself, he puts himself right in that mix for a title shot.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think all the pressure is on JDM heading into this fight. I think if he capitalizes on this big spot, 100%, he could be the next big thing at welterweight, even more so. I mean, I don't want to, you know, start having crazy takes out here, but I mean, he could potentially steal Bilal's title shot, just considering how unpopular Bilal is. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's all, again, another conversation for another day. But the point I guess I want to make here is that I think I agree with you guys that Gilbert Burns is being kind of underestimated in this fight. And I think that JDM is being way overvalued. I think that, yeah, he has been undefeated in the UFC and some really impressive fights. I mean, you want to look back at his 2022 run, all KO, TKOs. But I want to, like, bring your guys' attention to his fight actually in 2023 against Basil Hafez. Originally, he was supposed to fight, I believe it was, yeah, he was originally supposed to fight Sean Brady, which would have been an amazing fight. He actually, you know, ended up fighting Basil Hafez after Sean Brady got injured. It was a late nose replacement. And a lot of people thought that that fight was just going to be kind of open and shut. JDM was going to dominate that fight. But it was a really, really close fight that a lot of people thought that JDM possibly lost. And for him to kind of just have that big spot, which should have been a big finish, and just have a really close fight and also wasn't too exciting, I just think that a lot of people are putting a lot of weight in Jack Della Maddalena, where he hasn't really delivered every single time. So at least for me, that's why I think that Gilbert Burns will win this fight on Saturday. But I guess going around the table, what are you guys' picks?
I mean, that's the thing. You can't have an uncertain performance against Gilbert Burns. I mean, he's just as sharp as they come in this division, so much experience. And you can't forget right before he had that Bilal fight last year before he got injured, he fought three times in the first quarter of the year. And it's just to show that even now that he's 37 years old, he's still as active as ever. He's got all the experience. And like I said, you can't have an uncertain performance against Gilbert Burns. That's why I'm going to go with Gilbert Burns pulling this one out. I don't think there's going to be a finish, but I do think Gilbert edges out a decision here.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of adding on to that consistency from the side of Burns, just also the position he's in, and just how important a win would be here for him. I think, you know, he'd be prepared to die in the cage metaphorically and maybe even literally. And yeah, I think tomorrow night it'd be extremely interesting to see this fight kind of maybe the most skill on display prior to the main event on this card. I mean, it's just two absolute consummate professionals in the UFC that I think have a lot of respect around them. And if they're on your resume, win or loss, I think people are impressed by it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think it'll be an interesting fight either way it plays out. But I mean, there's no denying that it's high stakes for both fighters heading into Saturday night. But moving on in this main card, there's another really interesting fight that is next up, and I can't wait to talk about it. It is Kevin Holland versus UFC debutee Michael Venom Page. Should be a very, very fun fight. People have been wanting MVP Michael Venom Page to come over to the UFC for so long. I remember looking back at his old highlights, him hitting a flying knee on Evangelista Dos Santos and him literally caving in his skull. Crazy highlights like that, or like breaking noses, spinning wheel kicks, crazy stuff. I mean, he was bouncing around Bellator for a while. And since Bellator has been sold, he's officially landed in the UFC and is scheduled against Kevin Holland this Saturday night. Should be a very fun fight. And Kevin Holland is a tough test. I mean, out of all the people that MVP could have fought heading into the UFC, this is honestly not the one that I was expecting. But guys, I want your takes. Are you excited to see this UFC debut? And who do you think is going to come out on top?
Yeah, I think a lot of times when looking at wild matchups like this that are just like, it's almost hard to even fathom them being in the same octagon. You kind of have to really scope out the situation and look at it. Guy making his UFC debut against Kevin Holland, that doesn't seem like something, seems like a bit of a recipe for disaster. I think Kevin Holland, that's a reason why he is the favorite. I think MVP is very much getting penalized for the situation he's in. I think if it was taken fighter and fighter, I think that the betting odds would be closer. And yeah, Holland has had a little bit of trouble. Honestly, his recent resume is a little confusing. Some kind of good wins, including one over Chiesa, and kind of weird losses, including the guy we just talked about in Madalena, and also kind of just weird ones like Wonder Boy and people like that. Just a strange resume on the side of Holland. But honestly, after that last loss, I really see him kind of coming back into form here. Obviously, Madalena, a really tough loss, but he has had a murderer's row of competition recently. And obviously, I don't think MVP is, under the standard of UFC. I don't want that to be kind of the picture I'm portraying, but I do think when coming up against that murderer's row of competition, that's just not the level that Page has kind of been fighting at his whole career. And I just think Holland, maybe just a step above right now. Page might need a little more time just to get accustomed to the UFC before he could pick up kind of a premier win like Holland.
Carino, you're asking about why he would be matched up against like a Kevin Holland in his first fight. Well, Kevin Holland is one of the most exciting guys in the UFC. I mean, that's why his resume has looked maybe a little bit shaky lately. He's just fighting big names, guys who are going to put on fun fights. And maybe he's not always looking for a win. And that's like kind of a crazy thing to say. But the guy puts on fun fights. It's just exciting. He's the big mouth. He talks the entire time he's fighting. And that's just the way that's the way his UFC legacy is going to be remembered, as one of those guys who always puts on an exciting fight. And no one better, I think, to match MVP up against in his first UFC fight than Kevin Holland. And this is kind of the fast track to the rankings and to the title. If MVP could go in there and get it done this weekend, especially in the absolutely exciting fashion that he's done it in Bellator, he's going to be on one of the fastest tracks to the title, I think, in UFC history. I mean, he gets this win, he's going to be right in that mix. And and he's just going to gain so much fans, especially if he can do it in an exciting way. We've seen the crazy kick knockouts and the knees, even a little bit of showmanship where after the fights, I think he threw a Pokemon ball at one of his opponents who was still knocked out on the ground. The guy is just, he lives for the moment, and he seems like he's ready to me. There's no sort of like fear in the way that he's presented himself and carried himself throughout this week, a fight week. And I don't think the lights are going to be too bright for him on Saturday. I think this is going to be a really, really great fight. And honestly, this is going to be my pick for the fight of the night.
Yeah, no, definitely. MVP throughout his career has always seemed, by and large, to be someone that lives up to, the big moments in his career. Every single time that he needs to perform big, generally he does. But yeah, he's going up against a really tough test in Kevin Holland. And you guys, want to talk about his recent career and how it's been a little bit more shaky. Obviously, that Wonder Boy fight where he just like kind of chose to stand up and strike with Wonder Boy, kind of dumb choices like that, that'll lose you fights but make you kind of a fan favorite. I want to draw your attention to his 2020 resume. I mean, I believe he still has the record for most consecutive wins in a calendar year at 5. Really impressive stuff. He was just able to build up that streak, and I think that speaks to his skill when he's genuinely taking fights seriously. And I think he'll take this fight seriously, considering that MVP is so hyped up, and also he's coming from another promotion. I feel like he really believes that he believes in the UFC pedigree and really wants to defend that to a certain extent. So off the back of that, I think I'm going more for Kevin Holland. I think that he'll just have a, I don't know, I think it's going to be a tough fight either way. I think it's going to be close. I think guys are going to land their own moments. But I think that Kevin Holland just has a bit more staying power. Whereas MVP, when he's gotten caught earlier in his career, you want to look at a Douglas Lima fight where he got knocked out really bad. I just don't think that he can take a punch as well. But, you know, quick picks going around the table. What do you guys think? Do you have MVP in this one or do you have Kevin Holland?
Honestly, I'm going to be different here and I'm going to go with MVP. I think that his style is just so exciting and so flashy and so unpredictable for the most part that I think that especially if Kevin Holland gives him the fight that everybody's expecting him to, which Kevin Holland, I think his ego might be too big to try to take this one to the ground. I think this one stays standing and you give MVP that fight and you let him style a little bit like he's used to. I think he could pull off a pretty exciting finish and honestly, I would love to see it. So I'm not saying I'm against Kevin Holland anyway. I love the guy. He's honestly one of the most, like I mentioned, one of the most exciting fighters in the UFC. I never miss one of his fights. But MVP has just got that style to him, that flair. And I think this moment is massive for him. And this is how he's going to get his fast track to the title, really make his name known in the UFC. So give me MVP by finish or by knockout specifically on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a page by knockout. It's definitely... You hit the sports books at the right age legally. That can make you a lot of money. I'm just going to go for the dependable Holland here, the dependable pick, the favorite. I think it's a weird fight, definitely fight of the night potential, as Zach said, even though I think the main event could be a barnstormer and could be an absolute war. And yeah, I just think Holland needs the win. I think kind of what we've seen from him in the pressures and stuff, it does seem like he wants to go for the win. I don't really get any indication that he's going to take this one lightly or has any point to prove other than the victory. I do think there's a chance he could get overzealous on a knockdown or something of that nature, but I trust that Holland can get this victory. And I think this is a fast track. I think that's almost, it's almost the opposite of an exaggeration, whatever. What would that word be?
Well,
I got nothing with you, brother.
Yeah. Oh, Zach. It's almost, you're almost understating it a fast track.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they're understating it. It is insane to think if he got this Holland victory, could think almost 2 to 3 more fights until some sort of title opportunity or maybe some sort of contender opportunity. So it would definitely be a fast track, but I think maybe the UFC and Page's eyes were a little bigger than their stomachs here, and I can see kind of Holland putting a bit of a kibosh on that whole fast track. So give me Holland.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. We'll definitely see. I mean, who knows? Coming out of Saturday night, we might have our next Michael Chandler in the welterweight division. It should be a fun fight. I'm very excited. And I think any way this pans out, I think it probably will end in a finish. But it should be a fun fight. Moving on to this co-main event, though, we have Dustin the Diamond Poirier taking on Benoit Saint-Denis. Should be a very fun fight. Dustin Poirier obviously coming off of that pretty bad knockout loss to Justin Gaethje. Meanwhile, Benoit Saint-Denis has been having the time of his life, knocking out Matt Frivola, finishing to Thiago Moises, and then also submitting Ismael Bonfim. Really impressive stuff. So obviously he has this big opportunity in taking on Dustin Poirier, but as everyone knows, Dustin Poirier is one of the most game and toughest fights in the lightweight division. So off the back of that, I mean, who do you think has the edge? Do you think that Benoit Saint-Denis can really take it to Dustin Poirier and, you know, make it a competitive fight? Or, I mean, just what do you guys think about this in general?
This one's pretty cut and dry to me. It feels more cut and dry than the other ones. Dustin's resume, kind of like Holland, is weird, but underwhelming, I think, would be the word, kind of the word we just used for the last fight. You look, aside from that Chandler win in 22, his last win is when Conor broke his leg. We're coming up on 3 years since then. That's a long time. We really haven't seen Dustin in great form, and honestly, just plainly getting victories in the octagon, and that scares me. And if you want to see a guy who we have seen just getting victories and kind of plowing through people recently, it's the guy on the other side of the octagon from him, St. Denis. You look at his resume, there's three wins in the 2023 calendar year. I mean, that's just absurd. And when you kind of compare it to the resume elite of Dustin, it's just not even on the same planet. I think St. Denis can use this as a major resume builder. I think a lot of guys on his resume and a lot of the W's on his resume may be casual UFC fans, may not know those names. It may not be familiar with those names. This is the opportunity to get a victory, a household name victory, which I think are so important when kind of building up a resume and making a charge toward the title. And especially now, this is a second fighting on a main card, the first being that the Pereira title fight back in November. But now it's really time to make a statement and get a household win. And I think he will get it. And obviously counting Dustin out historically hasn't necessarily been the best idea, but he's so tough. And I think that only takes you so far at some point. I think Father Time can kind of start to intervene. We've seen it with guys like Ferguson, which is honestly more sad than anything else. But yeah, I think St. Denis, another a big victory and just more momentum leading into maybe kind of the higher ranks of the division here.
I'd like to bring up an interesting stat here. I mean, Dustin Poirier has never lost back-to-back fights. He's 7-0 coming off of a loss. And I mean, just to disagree a little bit, I know you're mentioning Poirier's resume. I think he has maybe one of the most, like, one of the more, like difficult resumes I think you can look at in a UFC fighter. He's fought against Khabib, Charles Oliveira, Gaethje twice. I mean, to fight Gaethje twice.
I'm talking itself, more, but like, Zach, it's
in terms, I agree with you in terms of recent, though. And that does concern me about Dustin Poirier. That the fact that he only has two wins in the past 2-3 years, and one of them is over Conor when he broke his leg. And besides that, he doesn't really have another win. However, I would like to say that win over Chandler just shows how gritty and how ready for a war Dustin Poirier is. And even at this age, even after all of the wars he's been in, he's still game for it. And he performed incredibly against Michael Chandler, got rocked a little bit in that first round, and then comes back, rocks Michael Chandler back, and then ends up finishing him in the later round with the sub. And Dustin Poirier is as durable as it gets in this division. He's as experienced as it gets. He's as sharp as it gets. Dustin Poirier just doesn't seem to really get worse or even seem to regress in any way when in his fights. It just seems that every time he's in there, he's in a war. And looking at some of his recent losses, he fight against Charles Oliveira loss, where he ends up giving up his back in the same way that he lost to Khabib and then gets choked out with another rear naked choke. It just seems to be his kryptonite. And when I look at Benoit St. Denis, he's a guy who could get it done on both the feet and on the ground. He has 9 wins by sub, three or four knockouts. I'm not sure. All I know is he's finished every single win he's had. He's a finisher to the highest degree. But when I think about this weekend and what this fight is going to be, I see a complete war. And I think Dustin Poirier is always game for that. He's one of the legends of this sport, definitely a future Hall of Famer. And Dustin Poirier coming off of a loss is one of those mythical fighters where you just don't see him losing. And it's just so hard for me to count out the diamonds. So I kind of lean towards Dustin Poirier a little bit just because of the experience, the grittiness, the shorts pull. I don't know if you guys know, whenever he pulls up his shorts, he seems to get a little bit better, a little bit more locked in, I guess you could say, in the fight. All of a sudden, everything starts landing and nothing can hurt him. But Dustin Poirier, to me, is one of the highest levels of MMA that you can look at in terms of a fighter.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I completely agree with you there, Zach. And I think that counting out Dustin Poirier is just a surefire way to lose a fight, thinking that it's going to be easy heading in there. But going off the back of that, I think this fight's going to pan out in one of two ways. I think that we're going to see kind of a Benoit St. Denis classic, if you will, a very early finish, similar to one they had against Matt Frivola, or kind of gets Dustin Poirier on the ground early, maybe leads to a submission. But I think where Dustin Poirier wins this fight, if it goes past that first round, if it goes into the second round, if it goes into the third round, because I don't know if Benoit St. Denis can really hang with a hard dogfighter that Dustin Poirier is known to be, like both of you guys were talking about. But honestly, I find myself, it's kind of feels like blasphemy, but I think I'm edging more towards, leaning towards Benoit Saint-Denis winning this fight, which is kind of crazy to say because I'm such a big Dustin Poirier fan and considering his bounce back record of 7-0. But I don't know, something about Benoit Saint-Denis, it just, I feel like he's coming into this fight really ready to put on a show. And I think he's going to possibly get a quick finish here. And maybe we'll start to see the downfall of Dustin Poirier, as much as I hate to say it. I mean, he is getting to that 35 age mark. He is getting a bit older. And as we know, with those lighter weight classes, that means a whole lot, you know, not being as young. But we're going to take a brief intermission. Welcome back. We are out of our intermission and we are ready to talk Sean Sugar O'Malley taking on Chito Vera. It is the main event of UFC 299, and I'm so excited. This fight has been in the making for so long. Sean O'Malley seemingly took away or denied pretty much all the other contenders in the bantamweight division, singled out Chito Vera and said, hey, I want to kind of retcon my one loss, which he doesn't even consider a loss, against Chito Vera. I want to retcon it, get rid of it, and prove that, you know, it was a fluke and it never happened. And on Saturday night, we'll finally have our answer. Chito Vera believes that that first fight was anything but luck. It was all skill. So off the back of that, I mean, there's so many storylines heading into this fight, as Chris was saying earlier in this episode. I don't know if you guys want to highlight one that you find interesting, maybe some stylistic points on the fight. Just give me your general takes. What gets you excited about this matchup? Because there are so many things.
Yeah, I think this is one of the more intriguing main events we've had. I think this is years in the making, kind of. I'm not sure if we alluded to it on the show or before the show. It's extremely interesting. I think a guy O'Malley, you see headlines I just saw on ESPN, you know, is this the next McGregor? It feels like he's kind of, you know, around the launching point of really kind of hitting the stratosphere as an A-list celebrity and kind of a A-list athlete. And in general, you know, the success of UFC goes along with that. And, you know, as Andrew was saying, the one loss on his record that he's always kind of saying doesn't exist did come at the hands of Vera. So I think that makes this fight very interesting, kind of evicting that while also kind of establishing a normalcy with the belt, which I think is really important as well, just kind of getting in the groove of defending and holding on to it. And from the side of Vera, very interesting. I was kind of leaning toward him almost a little bit, kind of leading up to this fight the month before. I just really thought he was dangerous and, you know, maybe he would catch O'Malley off guard. I was really thinking that way, but kind of seeing it now, the weigh-in looked like a bit of a struggle for Vera. I think that's a big component of this as well. Weight cut was really brutal. And just in general, I think Sean feels like he has a sense of belonging at the top of that division and with that belt. And I think the absence of that imposter syndrome is so powerful. And I think it may be mentally what puts him over the edge of Vera here, along with just how great he's been and the resume he's kind of building right now. It's so impressive.
Yeah, there's a saying in the UFC that when you become champ, you become 30% better. And I can't wait to see what that means for Sean O'Malley and his first title defense. I've always thought of the first title defense as kind of the most important thing of being a champion. You win the belt and sometimes it could be fluky. Sometimes it could be with a little bit of luck, but the first title defense is giving you the next guy who's equally as hungry, if not more hungry, and being able to fend that off and defend your title, really, really take what it means to be a champion. I feel like is the most important part of it. So this is a really, really big fight for Sean O'Malley, obviously trying to get that one back after losing to Chito Vera. You've mentioned before, he says he doesn't think he lost that fight. He had the I can't remember the name of the nerve, but got kicked in that nerve in his leg that basically makes your leg shut off. And you could see it in that fight. He gets kicked and immediately loses basically control of his foot. And his foot was dragging, rolling every time he tried to take a step. And I don't know if that's a good enough excuse to really say, okay, remove the loss from my record. I know he says the Sugar State Athletic Commission took it off his record, but I don't think any of the official sports commissions really recognize the Sugar State Athletic Commission as a real thing. But going back to the fights and the styles, I think Sean O'Malley is just so much quicker than Chito Vera. I think that his striking is so smooth. He seems to be able to find just about anybody's chin, especially in that Aljo fight. People were worried about him taking him down and how that would look. Well, he fends off the takedowns and then ends up cracking Aljo with one of the most perfect right hands I've ever seen. And that's just been Sean O'Malley's career. He's so accurate, so powerful. And another thing about his game that I really, really like is his ability to throw feints, especially early in a fight, where he's just kind of has his opponent always second guessing what he's going to throw and always just kind of throwing him off until eventually he catches him. And that's where I think that Chito's going to be maybe a step behind in terms of the speed and trying to not react to every feint. I think in the first fight, you can really see Chito literally have a lot of big reactions to some of those feints. So if Sean O'Malley could get that going early, he's going to really be in a good spot, especially in those first two rounds, I feel, is where he's most dangerous, where Chito has been known to be a really slow starter. And if he can't get going, especially in those first two rounds, I think it could be a quick night for him.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think it could be, it has an opportunity. I feel both fighters have equal opportunities to make it their style of fight. I mean, if Chito Vera has his way, we could see this fight enter the later rounds and Sean O'Malley take some serious damage while Cheeto's just kind of catching him on a couple key reads. Or, you know, Sean O'Malley, we could see him dribble around the octagon and finish Chito Vera in a matter of minutes. Who knows? I think the stylistic matchup here is probably one of the most interesting things. In addition to all the storylines heading into this fight, Chito Vera is such a sneaky defensive fighter. I feel like a lot of people really don't view him as a defensive fighter. They kind of view him as more of like a hard-headed Venezuelan-style fighter that's able to take a lot of damage. But a lot of people are surprised when they see him in the octagon that he's able to just evade the majority of strikes. I mean, I think of his fight against Corey Sandhagen, where Corey is one of the best strikers in the bantamweight division. And time and time again, he just had a really tough time trying to find Chito. But Sean O'Malley, like you guys were saying, is a very different type of striker. He's extremely unique, even more so than a Corey Sandhagen. And I think that Chito definitely, I mean, we saw in that first fight, I think Sean was starting to catch Chito at a couple key moments in that first round, up until his perineal nerve got kicked and his, you know, foot went all crazy. So yeah, I think it's a very, very interesting fight. And honestly, I keep flip-flopping on who's going to win this fight. Honestly, I think I'm kind of more leaning towards Chito Vera, honestly, just based purely on the styles. I think where Sean O'Malley was able to kind of eke out a win against Piotr Jan here, if this fight kind of takes place similarly, it goes all five rounds, I don't think Sean O'Malley will be able to stand up similar to how he did against Piotr Jan, but that's just me. So, yeah, I mean, that's personally what I'm thinking heading into this fight. I don't know if you guys have any counter arguments for that. But, yeah, I guess I kind of want to hear your picks now. What are you guys – who are you guys going for?
Yeah, just kind of reiterating on what I said, I think Sean kind of cements what he's been doing, kind of cements that superstar status that he's been working so hard to kind of reach. But also, I wouldn't be surprised if Vera, you know, kind of knocks him out, takes him by surprise, similarly to kind of how the general public thought of Volkey's loss recently, kind of taking a challenger, kind of undervaluing a challenger and how dangerous they are, especially in the striking category, and then them kind of taking a beloved champion off guard, obviously, Sean and Volk being very different. But I could also see it going that way. If I had to give a distinct pick and stand on one side of the line, I would go Sean. But once again, no surprises for me here whatsoever, no matter what happens.
Yeah, this is, it's a hard fight to call just because of both guys. I mean, Chito Vera has been in the UFC for a long time. He's so hungry for a title. His story is incredible. I've learned more about it this week now through Fight Week and all of the media. In terms of his daughter and the rest of his family. And I just think he's a guy who wants this more than anything. So I'm definitely not going to count out Chito, especially in this fight. But Sean O'Malley, man, I mean, he's so unique. He's one of the most interesting strikers in the UFC. I don't think the moment is in any way is going to affect it for him. I don't think the lights are too bright. I think he said it before. He was the champ before he was the champ. He had all the media following him around. for a long time now. None of this is new to him. Everything on this fight week is all things that he's been experiencing for years now. So this isn't this the moment. It shouldn't even be a question, I think, for this week and for Sean O'Malley. It's just, can you get through a guy who beat you before? How do you get through that mental block? Which I don't know if he's up at night thinking about that loss to Cheeto, especially in the way it ended. I think just the way he treats it as not a loss doesn't really affect him much. And he's going in there with kind of something to prove that, hey, this guy doesn't belong in the octagon with me. But Cheeto Vera is sneakily very, very dangerous. And I wouldn't be shocked if he could somehow catch Sean, and especially in a later round is how he's done it, with how durable he is, catching Sean with something crazy in a later round and finishing him or knocking him out. But Sean O'Malley, to me, man, especially in that last Aljo fight, just really showed his superstar potential. And like I said, when you become champ, you become 30% better. I cannot wait till Saturday to see what that means for Sean O'Malley. I think he gets it done, within three, but it is going to be a war. But Sean O'Malley is going to show his superstar potential. He's going to shine, and he's going to become one of the biggest names in this sport Saturday night when he knocks out Cheeto Vera.
Yeah, no, I feel like truly no stage is big enough for Sean O'Malley. And I think we've seen that time and time again throughout his UFC career. And I think that's what makes him such a unique fighter in the UFC. But also to that same extent, I feel like Cheeto also maybe, I don't know if he could necessarily live up as much as Sean O'Malley does, but I think that if anything, he just doesn't care about the media. He goes out and does what he wants. And I think off the back of that, that's what makes this fight so intriguing. They're two sides of the same coin. I think that Cheeto could possibly get the win, but ultimately we'll just have to wait and see for Saturday night. Should be very, very fun who will come out on top as the new bantamweight champion of the world. We have one more fight to talk about before we wrap up, and this fight's actually going to be happening in maybe like 20 minutes, 30 minutes from now, happening very soon this Friday night. It is Francis Ngannou taking on Anthony Joshua in boxing. I believe it's happening in Riyadh, again, where Ngannou fought Tyson Fury in that very, very close fight that a lot of us thought Ngannou possibly won. This fight is, literally minutes away from happening. So I know that we haven't done too much prep. We're kind of more sitting by as fans of Ngannou, fans of boxing. So I just kind of want to hear your guys' general takes. Are you excited for this fight? And do you think that Ngannou could possibly get his first boxing win here?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting story. I don't think it's been talked about enough, actually, just in like the general public. I feel like I haven't heard a ton of chatter about it. I don't know. I thought the Ngannou-Tyson fight very interesting, and I even picked Ngannou to win that one or maybe even just get something going, make it competitive. I don't feel the same way about this fight. I do think there is levels between Joshua and Fury, and I do think Joshua may be lower caliber slightly. But also, while also saying that, I also think that I don't think lightning will strike twice here. I don't think Ngannou can possibly just almost outbox two of the best heavyweights in the world back-to-back fights. I just don't see it happening. It's a funny story, but I could see Joshua getting the victory here. Maybe eventually now we'll get Fury Joshua. I don't know. Boxing sucks when it comes to that kind of side of the sport. It's an interesting fight, and it's an interesting spectacle. And as being a WWE fan, as I said before, I'm always in favor of a spectacle. So I'm definitely a fan of it. And I think Joshua will come out on top.
I think we could all agree here that whether Francis Ngannou wins tonight or not, he's already won. I mean, he bet on himself leaving the UFC. Nobody really knew, hey, does he have offers? How much he's going to sign for? Is he going to be able to make any money anywhere else? And he's winning right now in life, in the fight game, and everything. Francis Ngannou bet on himself, and he took that bet to the casino and cashed it out for millions and millions of dollars. He's getting paid. I don't even know the exact number he's getting paid. I just know it's a lot, and way more than he would make in the UFC. So on that front, Francis Ngannou, he's done what he needs to do. But the question is, can he go in there and beat one of the greatest, he already fought Tyson Fury, one of the greatest heavyweights ever, but one of the best heavyweights right now in the world in Anthony Joshua. And like Carino said, it's kind of like there's levels to this game. And I won't count him out, because anyone's always has a puncher's chance, especially when you are the size and have the punch power of Francis Ngannou. You cannot count that man out. But Anthony Joshua is, I mean, just such a good boxer, so fluid, so sharp, just quick, clean with his boxing. And I just don't think that Ngannou wins a fight where he outboxes him. I think it's, if he does have a chance, it's just going to be whether he lands one big, maybe lucky shot. And that's kind of how it was with the Fury fight, and it changed the tide. And he showed, he was able to demonstrate that when he has kind of a hurt Fury in front of him, he can stand in there and be competitive with him, which I don't know if that's the same story tonight. But like I already said, Francis Ngannou is one whether he wins in the ring tonight or not.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you there, Zach. And it is a real feel-good story to see Ngannou kind of go from literal rag to riches, you know, throughout the course of his life and also the past couple of years with the UFC. I remember introducing Ngannou versus Tyson Fury on Pound for Pound a couple months ago when we were first talking about that fight. And I remember introducing it saying, like, does Ngannou even have a chance in this fight? And I feel kind of stupid saying that now, looking back at it, considering how well he did in that fight. And I feel like there's a lot of similar sentiments being thrown around the media today where people are saying, does he even have a chance? Can Ngannou stand up to such a good, clean boxer in Anthony Joshua? And I feel like a lot of people are overlooking Ngannou again, despite having such a good performance from Tyson Fury or against Tyson Fury. To the point where, honestly, I'm kind of rooting for Ngannou, and I think that he can get the job done just solely on the fact that we've seen Anthony Joshua in high-stakes situations before and him really fumble the bag. I mean, we want to think about his fight against Andy Ruiz where he was an undefeated boxer. It was supposed to be his crowning moment in New York and then getting knocked out. That was, you know, one of his biggest moments in his career, and I think, again, he's coming up against Ngannou, which is another big moment, and I think that the style of Ngannou, the moment, I think all of it comes together to a point where Ngannou has a real shot in this fight. And I believe that he can get it done. So I think maybe that's, you know, maybe just my UFC MMA, you know, love coming out. I want Ngannou to do well, but we'll just have to wait back and see. I mean, that fight will probably be done in the next hour or two. So it should be fun to see if our picks are right or wrong. But I think that'll just about wrap up this installment of Pound for Pound. I want to give a massive thanks to our hosts, Zach Cordova, Chris Carino. Thanks for taking time out of your Friday night to always talk some cage. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Make sure you tune into the fights this weekend and our breakdown episode next week. And yeah, just make sure you stay tuned in. And I've been Andrew Canary, and Pound for Pound is a production of